Renting, always expensive. Well, maybe it isn't where you are. An ad for $815 a week, Central Wellington flat, has sparked an angry reaction from Wellington renters who've described it as having bedrooms more like dungeons. The flat has four bedrooms and one bathroom. If you'd like to have a look at it for yourself as we're talking now, go to the RNZ website, go to RNZ Afternoons, and there are some images there. And it's so run down that it's been described as a death trap. Well, joining me now is Zoe from Renters United to tell us more, but she only wants to be known as Zoe because she herself pays rent in Wellington and doesn't want her advocacy work to impact on that. Good afternoon, Zoe.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Good, you've had a look at the photos. What's your assessment of this dwelling? Can you actually see mould in it?
Yeah, I just think the assessment of the dwelling is that it's absolutely terrible. I actually don't know if I can think of words that's strong enough for how kind of crappy it is. And I just think that that can just kind of signify the renting situation in Wellington is that it's death row.
And just describe for us, for those who can't get onto the RNZ website in Afternoons to look at the pictures, can you give us a little pictorial rundown of what this flat is like?
Yeah, so it's a very small room, very dimly lit. It's kind of looks very damp, like it would be very damp and cold. And you can like make out what might be, you know, kind of mould starting to grow. So it's, to be honest, it's kind of like par for the course with certain kind of areas of Wellington that are very cold and damp and dungeon-like.
And how have they advertised it then? Certainly not in those terms, obviously.
Yeah. Sorry, could you please repeat the question? I didn't quite catch it.
How have they advertised it? What's the spiel like? What does it say?
Well, the advertisements are always kind of trying to put the best spin on it they can. So essentially, often playing up things like how close to the city it is and even how cheap it is comparatively to the rest of the market. But obviously the downside is your health and safety and mental well-being.
It's a student flat, I guess.
Yeah, I'd guess that that's the market that they're trying to appeal to.
Because many students have gone home for the year and some stay on because they really want to keep their flat over the summer because they don't know whether they'll be able to get into one if they're going back to university next year, if they're going to Victoria or they need to get back into Wellington next year. So it's very, very difficult, isn't it, in terms of whether you drop the place or whether you keep it?
Yeah, so actually a lot of students end up kind of signing on to flats in this kind of November round, because usually flats come up in either November or February, and a lot of students end up signing on to fairly poor flats in November just so that they have something secured over summer. So most of the houses kind of that go in this November round tend to end up being empty because lots of students end up going home for the summer anyway and just paying for a flat that they're not living in at the moment.
Well, for $815 a week and described, the bedrooms described as more like dungeons, and some have questioned whether this is actually legal, is it?
Yeah, so there are certain legal requirements that have to be met in order for it to be able to be called like a bedroom or like a dwelling that you can live in. So obviously there's a certain like size that a room has to be and a certain amount of windows that it has to have and a certain amount of opening windows that it has to be able to have. But as long as those requirements are met, and I've got to say the requirements aren't that, you know, they're not incredibly hard to meet, as long as those requirements are met, that room can be leased out as a bedroom. Yeah, so there's actually not a lot of regulation of it. As long as you can get someone in to rent the room, I don't think landlords or property managers are necessarily going to turn someone away because a room doesn't meet the technical legal definition of a room.
So what about the health and safety issues here? There's a Facebook comment from Vic Deals. He says, "I can smell the black mould from the photos."
So with rooms like this, there's obviously the potential for mould to grow, and mould's incredibly dangerous to your health. Also, rooms like this can be a cause of rheumatic fever, where New Zealand is incredibly bad statistics for that particular illness, which is mainly caused by poor quality of housing. So rooms like this are incredibly dangerous to tenants' health, not just to, you know, their bank accounts.
So it's a reflection really on how bad the capital's renting market is.
Yeah, it shows just how desperate people are to just have a roof over their head, no matter what quality that roof is, or how expensive it is just to have somewhere to live. So, yeah, the situation is incredibly desperate.
As I introduced you, not your last name, you're from Renters United, but not your last name because you don't want your this interview, for example, to impact on your advocacy work. Is it likely to?
Whether or not it's likely to, I'm actually not sure about, but I've heard rumours of landlords kind of collaborating and keeping blacklists of tenants who maybe haven't been good tenants for one landlord, so they create a database that, you know, to say this tenant is blacklisted, or if a tenant has taken a landlord to the tenancy tribunal, sometimes they can go on those lists, or potentially maybe people like myself who are speaking out about the situation in Wellington. So I just thought, as a precaution, that maybe keeping my last name, you know, anonymous might help. But, yeah, I just think that's the rumours I've heard, and I obviously can't verify that. But just to err on the safe side, anonymise myself.
Yeah, understandable. And not just for students, though. Let's have a look at flats that are for, you know, young executives or old executives. I don't know how they advertise them these days. But what's the stock like there?
I think that if you're willing to pay more money, and if you're willing to move further out, there are obviously there is a greater amount of flats available to you than there are in the central city. That's true. But also, even places that are quite far out of Wellington have had incredible rent hikes after the COVID-19 rent freeze. So we've had emails from people who whose landlords hiked their rent $100 a week as far out as like Mochueca. So, you know, we've had like emails from people actually quite far out of the city centre whose landlords have had to hike the rent. Maybe it's to pay their own bills. You know, I think it's understandable that maybe landlords have also lost other sources of income during this time. But the situation is really desperate for, I think, everyone at the moment.
And, of course, it's not just executives or bureaucrats that need to rent a place. Families are renting.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the opportunity there for a family? And I know from personal experience, very, very difficult if you have a pet, because nobody wants a pet, do they?
No. Landlords are very unfriendly to pets. It's very hard to get a place if you admit to having a pet. So I think a lot of tenants as pets just keep that quiet and keep it secret, which ends up breaching their tenancy agreement. So I think there's that's a huge problem. And I think, yeah, it's incredibly hard for families to find places, good places to live in the Wellington region that have, you know, enough bedrooms or enough space for a growing family to, you know, live in a healthy, normal life. And also I think a lot of landlords might not want families because it just creates more people in that dwelling. So I think landlords tend to be looking for people like young professionals who can pay quite a bit of money but might not have the family requirements or the pets that come with, you know, being a family. So I think it's really hard for families out there.
Landlords really should have an obligation just to do a reset after somebody leaves. The pet's not going to do that much damage, really, are they? I mean, if there's a little bit of scratching here and there, you can paint the walls, or it's not that major to...
And also that's what bond is paid for. So I think it's a bit of, you know, double jeopardy to say, oh, no, you can't have a pet, but you still have to pay us a security bond. I think that if a tenant is paying a security bond, if there's a little bit of wear and tear from having a pet, that's what a bond is for. So I think it's a really tough situation to tell tenants to essentially just blacklist anyone that has a pet, when that's a job as a landlord is to have a bond for in case these things happen.
Landlords will be jumping up and down now saying pets make more damage than that. They pee on carpets and the like. And I guess they do with some people who have pets. There is a downside, I suppose, for a landlord.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah.
This particular flat, $815 a week, so four bedrooms, one bathroom, that's over $200 a room. Do you think people will actually pay $200 a room?
I think $200 a room in Wellington is cheap. I think that people are paying $250 a week for a room in Wellington. So I think, of course, people are going to pay for this. I think especially people like maybe first-year students who are willing to just pay not a lot of money and kind of not have a great room as long as they live close to the city and where they live and work, so that they can, like, have fun. I think that students would kill for that flat, in spite of it being, I mean, I would say not great is a polite way of putting it. But yeah, I think $200 a week for a room is cheap in Wellington.
There's some texts here, Zoe, you might like to answer. Pets need to be toileted somewhere. I don't want my garden used as a toilet. Litter boxes in a rental are unsanitary. An argument against having pets?
I think obviously having a pet is, it should be a discussion between a landlord and a tenant. And I think if the landlord thinks that that's unsanitary, then, you know, that is a discussion for the landlord and tenant to have. But I think if the tenant can manage it, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be able to have a pet.
This person says varnished wooden doors just about have to be replaced from pet scratching.
Yeah. I think that, again, it should, you pay a bond for certain reasons, and if a tenant is happy to say, look, I'll organise a replacement of that door, I'm happy to pay the money for that when I move out, I'm happy to sort those sorts of things, I don't see any reason why a reasonable landlord shouldn't say, right, then the onus is on you to have this pet and for actually you to manage the damage, and we'll, the payment for it will come out of your bond, we'll help you organise these things. I think that there are reasonable tenants out there. I think that there are tenants who don't just want to go running out on any damage that they've caused. And I think that's often the perception that pet owners get in the media, and I actually think it's a bit of an unfair shake.
Lots of texts coming through this one. You'll find this one interesting. I prefer to let a family than a group of professionals. That's what they're called, not executives. I prefer to let two a family than a group of professionals, as the latter, the professionals, tend to have undisclosed lovers and friends stay, so far more wear and tear and no clear hierarchy of responsibility.
I understand that view, and I actually think that is a good point. But I also think, why are we policing what's happening in these people's bedrooms? Why are they not allowed to have a boyfriend stay over one night? You know, tenants let houses so that they have a place to live in, and with that comes, you know, fulfilling a whole life. You know, they are allowed to have a person stay over for one night. That there is nothing in a tenancy agreement that says that you can't do that. And I actually don't think that having a person stay over for one night causes a higher, like, amount of wear and tear, because they might cook breakfast together, which would still only be one person cooking breakfast and using all the appliances. So I just think it's a bit unfair to police how these people live their lives, because they are renting a landlord's investment. It is still ultimately a tenant's home.
This landlord says, hi Karen, I'm a landlord with one house in Nelson and I chose tenants with dogs and a cat rather than tenants with toddlers. I even put a cat flap in for them. I don't really understand that. Why would you not have a tenant with a toddler?
Yeah, I guess that they think that toddlers might have a higher degree of wear and tear than even pets, like to do with, you know, say if a parent isn't watching closely enough, the toddler might draw something on the carpet or draw something on the wall. But I think that I'm not sure if I can answer that question. I think, again, it's down to what the landlord prefers. And I think that if they prefer pets to toddlers, then that's their choice to make, as long as I think it's, you know, I think it's actually admirable if they did let someone with a pet stay, considering how that's actually not kind of the trend of what's happening at the moment. But I don't know, I think it would be tough for a family with a toddler to find somewhere to live. And so I think, yeah, if they're willing to pay for the damages, and help replace the carpet and fix any walls, why shouldn't they be allowed a place to live?
So many questions and so many problems that people have with renting. Where can they go to find advice?
So the Citizens Advice Bureau helps with tenancy issues. They also have a really good online service called RentBot, where you can, it's just kind of like an AI bot on the internet. So if you go to Google, if you go to Facebook rather, and type in RentBot, you can just ask it any questions and it will just feed back to you. Like, I will tell you essentially the law. There's good resources there. Renters United, if you want to help us in the advocacy work, we are looking for volunteers, or we're looking for people who'd be willing to tell their flooding stories, because I'm sure that there are some really terrible ones out there.
Are you nationwide? So, yeah. Are you nationwide or Wellington?
We're mainly in Wellington, but we are looking at setting up a Christchurch and an Auckland branch. So if there are anyone out there from Christchurch and Auckland who'd be interested in getting involved, please let us know.
Very good, Zoe. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's Zoe, who wishes to remain anonymous as far as her second name goes. She's from Renters United. And we did get a request in for a comment from Quinovic, who advertised that particular flat. And Quinovic property manager Kevin Edmonds told the Herald in an email that they have only just taken over the property. He says, "We're in the process of working through healthy home compliance standards and will be taking actions required to ensure the property is compliant within the required time frames."